I appreciate Brother James and Union Primitive Baptist Church in Ruth, Mississippi for the invitation to be here tonight. We've been prayerfully considering it and find it something that we've been looking forward to. Brother Ken, I appreciate your humble prayer. Think of you much. I saw you on the chat message sending me something, but I'm not very good on computers and didn't know how to respond. I'm new to this Zoom thing. And so I just ask that, you consider to pray, that you continue to pray for me as I, try to make an attempt, before you this evening. The Lord would be, first and foremost, would be glorified, that we would glorify his name in the midst of all the things that are going on, that we'd continue to look to him, that we would continue to trust in him. And more that we know about God's word, the more and more that we understand about God's word, the more and more that we are grounded in God's word, the more and more that our faith and our trust will grow in the Lord during good times and during bad times. And we certainly need them during the bad times. So you pray for me as I stand, and before you this evening. We'd like to take your attention this afternoon or this evening, tonight, to the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. And we would like to just read one verse there in Hebrews chapter 8. And it is found in the 11th verse. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." What a wonderful set of scriptures that we have found in this 8th chapter of Hebrews. This 8th chapter of Hebrews is talking about two covenants of worship. The Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, was earthly to the natural nation of Israel. The New Testament is to the spiritual Israelite. The Old Testament, the law was external, written on tables of stone. In the New Testament, we see that the law was written in the fleshy tables of the heart. This new covenant is not a new way that God has saved his people, but it is a much greater revelation of God's eternal covenant. He says in John chapter 3 and verse 8, when Christ was talking to Nicodemus, he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sounds thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Everyone, from Adam to the last, are born in the same miraculous, sovereign way. Paul later explained in the 13th chapter of Hebrews that there is a covenant that is the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what saves us. And we see, even in the Old Testament, even though we see in the New Testament a greater revelation, let me turn very quickly to the first chapter of Exodus. And it says there in the 16th verse, "And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Listen to this. in the 17th verse. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. They feared God. Where did that come from? This was some 80 years before the tables were written by the finger of God that says, thou shalt not fear God, that thou shalt not kill. But yet they feared God. Where did that fear come from? It came from the heart. They were born again back then, just the same as the child of God is born now in this day and age. When we see this, he says, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Let's look at these two no's. There's two no's in this scripture. Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. That first no in the Greek is gnosko. And what that means is an acquired knowledge. It's an acquired knowledge. When we go on further and it says, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest, it's Edo, and it means an intuitive mental perception, an intuitive knowledge. So we have an acquired, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul uses two different words for this same word, no, one being an acquired knowledge, one being an intuitive knowledge. An intuitive knowledge. You know, an acquired knowledge. Let's look at an acquired knowledge. When I was growing up, and all of you went to school, and we went to school for one thing. We went to school to acquire knowledge. We went there to acquire knowledge, and we acquire knowledge through college, through our workplace, and through the things that we do. We're acquiring knowledge. But intuitive knowledge is something that is planted in the heart. Okay? You don't go to church to try to get the acquired knowledge of God in your heart. You go to church because you already have the intuitive knowledge of God in your heart, because he has born you again by the Spirit of God. A child that is born of their mother's womb doesn't have much of an acquired knowledge. Very little acquired knowledge of anything. But when that baby is laid on her mother's breast, that baby has an intuitive knowledge. That child knows who its mother is intuitively. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, a term of endearment. In other words, Abba means dada. You see, in the new birth, we're given an intuitive knowledge. And this is made more clear in the revelation of that in the New Testament. It hasn't changed, but we understand that clearer and clearer in the New Testament, that what God has done for us. Further intuitive knowledge. In John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Who's doing the teaching here? It's God. God is doing the teaching. They shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of who? Of the Father. They have learned and they have heard of the Father cometh to me. Now, you remember he said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. But then he says that we will, as it is written, the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. We come to the Lord not according to our will, not according to our desires. We are not desiring to come to the Lord. It's the Lord that draws us. It's the Lord that drags us to him. And it's the Lord that plants the Spirit of God into our heart. And when he plants the Spirit of our God in our hearts, we have an intuitive knowledge of God. You cannot teach somebody the intuitive knowledge of God. You cannot preach to somebody to have a knowledge of God, to know God. It's only God that can do that. And it's God that does that in the new birth. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, he'll do that to every last one. He'll born again every last one sometime between conception and death. And he's not going to lose a one. Some may say, well, what if somebody has an untimely death? I'm not worried about that. I know that God knows all things, and if they're his, none shall be lost. No, not one. They're all going to come to him. They'll be with him. Furthermore, in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the apostle says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Who teaches the heart there? It is God that teaches the heart. That intuitive knowledge that we have, that God gives us, and he teaches our heart and instructs us to love one another. You know, I've talked with people and say it's just hard for me to love somebody because of what all they've done and how they treated me. Well, I'm telling you what, dear child of God, that is placed in your heart. God has put that in your heart. What you need to do is you need to get away from the flesh and you need to follow the Spirit of God, that intuitive knowledge in your heart to love one another. To pray for one another, to forgive one another for their trespasses, or however they've done you wrong. You know, the Ninevites, when Jonah went over there to the Ninevites, the Ninevites were enemies to the children of Israel, to the Jews. You know, Jonah didn't want to go over there. They were enemies to him. They had treated them sorely. But when he went over there, this was a pagan nation. And Jonah goes over there and he begins to speak to them. And, you know, the message that he gives them is, it's over with in 40 days. In 40 days, it's over with. But, you know, from the greatest down to the least, they all came out, from the king down to the least. They all came out and fell down in sackcloth and ashes and prayed to God that God would spare them. And at that time, God spared them. Who told them about God? Who told them to get on their knees and pray to God? It wasn't Jonah. It wasn't Jonah. Jonah would have been just as happy to see them destroyed. But I want to tell you what it was. There was an intuitive knowledge that they had, and they fell down in sackcloth and ashes. Furthermore, as we read further into the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter of Acts. I'll get it right. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. listen to this, one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, this was before the Lord had sent the Apostle Peter to his house. This was before that people saved that he was saved for hell to heaven. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, he didn't need that salvation. I want to tell you what, when we see the attributes here of a man called Cornelius, we see one not that was dead in trespasses and in sins, but we see one here well before the Apostle Peter got there. We see one that already has the intuitive knowledge of God in his heart. One that already has the desire to pray to God. One that has the desire to serve God. One that has the desire to give alms to much people. Has compassion for the people. Dear child of God, that doesn't come from the Adam nature within us. One that exhibits these traits is one that is a child of God, has been born of God, and has these natures already within his heart. We see over here in 1 Corinthians. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Now we know one another because, naturally speaking, because we have the spirit of man within us. But listen to what he says. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." But the Spirit of God. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." This is talking about one that has received the intuitive knowledge of Jesus Christ in their heart. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is God, that we might know the things." Know the things. What is that know? That know is we know. That know is an intuitive knowledge. Again, "that we might know the things that are freely given us of God." Which things, listen to this, "which things we also speak." What do we speak? We're speaking that which is already in our heart by God and what he has done for us in the new birth. "Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." You see, dear child of God, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, we have an intuitive knowledge. It's then that we're born again. When we're born again, we don't feel to be our own king in the life, in our lives. We don't feel to be our own rulers. It's then that we see ourselves nothing and less than nothing. It's then that we're born again by the Spirit of God, that we see there's a greater being, something greater in this life than ourselves. An intuitive knowledge of Jesus Christ, he said in the 17th chapter of John. We'll turn there very quickly. He says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, glorify the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life." This is eternal life. "That they might know thee," intuitive knowledge, "that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's intuitive knowledge. So the child of God, they don't go to church or anything like that to try to gain a intuitive knowledge. That comes to the child of God in the new birth. But it doesn't stop there. There's a great blessing for the child of God that has this intuitive knowledge to be able to grow in the acquired knowledge of God and what he has done. You're not going to give an acquired knowledge to a dead alien sinner. But you can give acquired knowledge or gain acquired knowledge to one that has that intuitive knowledge. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instructions in righteousness. That the dead alien sinner? No. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's scripture is for those that are born again by the Spirit of God, that they may increase in their acquired knowledge. In Romans chapter 10, says here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, what kind of salvation are we talking about? Well, let's put it in context of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. For I bear them record. Paul's saying, I bear record. I see this. That they have a zeal of God. Now, when it says that they have a zeal of God, what Paul's telling us is where that zeal that they have comes from. That zeal that they have comes from God. They have a God-given zeal. For they have the zeal of God, but not according to what? To knowledge. You see, what they were lacking is not intuitive knowledge. What they were lacking is some acquired knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We're talking about ignorance, scriptural ignorance in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not that they're going to lose their eternal salvation, but what they're going to lose is a salvation, a time salvation, if you will, now in this life, with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the one that has done it all. And I believe that when we're born again by the Spirit of God and we have that intuitive knowledge, I believe that's planted in the heart. I believe it's the mind that gets mixed up. I believe it's the mind that gets mixed up in all these religions that try to say that salvation is by some other means or some other way or something else that you have to do instead of just listening to the acquired knowledge that we can obtain through the scriptures of God's word, that Jesus Christ has done it all. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. And it's through the gospel that we obtain that light. It's through the gospel that we attain that knowledge. The child of God that is already born again by the Spirit of God. Somebody that has a desire to pray. They may not have the acquired knowledge. Brothers and sisters, if they have a desire to pray, if they have a conviction in their heart when they do wrong, that's not one that needs salvation. That's one that's already got it. What they need is an acquired knowledge to say Jesus Christ has paid it all in the 8th chapter of John. There was one brought before Christ that was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses' law said she should be stoned, but what sayest thou? I could just hear that in that dear woman's mind, but what sayest thou? He wrote on the ground and he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. You know, they left out from the oldest to the youngest. You know, that shows us that we ought to follow the older people. And he turned to her and he says, where are those thy condemners? Where are those that are going to condemn thee? She said, I have none. You know, Moses' law was right. That was the Lord's law. It's God's law under the Old Testament said that she should be stoned. Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How could he do that? Because he was showing forth the mercy and grace. Not that he was going to brush her sins under a carpet, but that he was going to pay for her sins on the cross at Calvary. Brothers and sisters, he's paid for our sins on the cross at Calvary. And in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have a greater knowledge of that. And they shall not teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me intuitively. All shall know me from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. How can God be merciful to our unrighteousness? Because he bore our sins on the cross at Calvary. And we have a greater revelation of that in the New Testament. In this new covenant, we understand that. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more, because they're paid for. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. I trust we said something tonight that has made some sense. I trust we've said something that increases your hope and encouragement in the Lord and in the truth to the latter end, that God would continue to be glorified. Brother James, I appreciate the time.